The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Well, it's nice to be with you today. Mr. Stephen Fleury was kind enough to share this program with me. My name is Andrew Locher, and I'm live, coming to you live from our campus studios here in Edmond, Oklahoma. I'd like to thank Dwight and Spencer Falk for giving up their Thanksgiving morning to come in and produce the show. Well, we've had just a really beautiful week of weather leading into Thanksgiving. It's not quite as pleasant out there today, but the fall has just been fantastic here on campus. Last Sunday, I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, with my wife and several other members who were participating in a half marathon. Don't worry, I wasn't participating myself. I was just there to cheer on the others. Our members who did go and who did race all seemed to be pretty happy with their results. And it just kind of struck me, the environment of the marathon up there in Tulsa. And really, I'm sure it's true with most events that are outside, that are productive. The environment, I think I would characterize as uplifting. You had like-minded people out there exercising, being kind one to another. I found it pretty interesting to watch those that were running past the barricades that were manned by police officers, that they were thanking the police. And I thought that, well, that's pretty unusual for a police officer to be thanked in this day and age. And of course, there was a heavy police presence there because of the bombing that took place in I think it was Boston several years ago at a marathon. And so it's just a very typical of what you find in this world, an event that should really be family oriented. It promotes the right ideals as far as exercising, being outside. And yet there has to be a heavy police presence. Of course, they have to direct traffic and all of that. I understand that as well. But anyhow, I just thought it was a great atmosphere and made me think and reminded me how much better it is to be outside, to be exercising, rather than being sedentary inside. So maybe today on Thanksgiving, if you get a chance, weather permitting, of course, it's kind of stormy out there all over the country, but weather permitting, just go outside for a little bit. Exercise a little bit, and don't just spend your Thanksgiving sitting around. While they were racing around the cities of Tulsa, I went for a brief walk myself in the downtown area, just getting in the fresh air, moving around. You ought to give it a try. I'm kidding, of course. I know you do far better than I do. But really, just try to get outside and enjoy the environment that God has given us. I frequently see Mr. Wayne Turgeon out walking around campus here and many other individuals on staff. The students are encouraged to exercise and work out outside of their physical education class in college and at the high school. So we really do need that focus. We don't want to just talk about it, but we want to live that. Well, I'd like to give you just a quick update on some of the developments in the work of God. We continue to be very busy fulfilling literature requests here at headquarters and around the world at our different regional offices. We're just about all caught up with processing mail requests, and the timing is good because we're getting into a busier season in Canada. To just give you an idea how busy they are, they have a small staff. They're assisted by volunteers from time to time. But in that Canadian office, they fulfilled 71,000 literature requests so far this year. We've added over 9,300 new subscribers. In the United Kingdom, again, a small office, also assisted by volunteers and students, they fulfilled nearly 30,000 literature requests, about one-third of those coming from Mr. Stephen Fleury's Trumpet Daily TV program that airs on three different CBS stations throughout the United Kingdom. Incidentally, they just resumed taping new programs for the TV program over there in the UK. The program title is Confidence in Christ, and Mr. Stephen Fleury offered the new booklet on Hebrews. So that should be a strong responding program. I know he's excited to get back before the TV cameras and to continue to add new subscribers there throughout the United Kingdom. So far this year, we've added 1,600 new contacts as a result of the various media efforts over there in the UK. Here at the United States, or in the United States at our headquarters office, it's a little bit busier as far as the number of requests that are processed. Well over 115,000 telephone calls have been placed to our toll-free lines, answered by operators here at the MPC or volunteers at home. As I have drawn attention to in the past, we have a very faithful army of volunteers that help us man the phones. We also have a wonderful staff here at headquarters at the MPC, many of them graduates, some students, other employees who routinely take calls each day except for the Sabbath. We're just very grateful for all of their efforts. This is a day to just kind of be thankful in general. And as we talk about, or as we will on this program today, it is good to just expand our mind, to get the thought beyond the empirical self, and to recognize what God is doing here, to recognize all of the blessings that we are a part of. We're very successful on the internet with our website traffic being very consistent. There are a lot of people that watch the videos on the Trumpet YouTube channel. There's obviously a lot of reading and downloading, placing orders. It's a little bit more difficult to quantify the quality of web traffic. And yet we do see increasing numbers there. So we believe that probably, you know, more people are migrating away from that, maybe receiving a hard copy and just more quickly getting access to the literature with downloads. They subscribe. Many of you subscribe to our email alert systems that we have in place. There's just an awful lot that's out there for us. Again, something to be grateful for. A PCG snapshot email that might come to us, or a signpost, sorry, not snapshot, came up with another newsletter that we can develop. Signpost. It's just a great, great spiritual reminder, just a short little notification perhaps to reorient our thinking. We get Trumpet briefs, all the other email alerts that we get, and just popping by the website throughout the day to see what else has been posted. All of that really very beneficial. Of course, we can be thankful for programming here on KPCG. We have a variety of programming. Much of it is just really up to date to the moment. And even on public holidays, on time where others might have a pre-recorded program, we do strive to have live programming for you, or up to date programming. Giving you a brief idea of what's going on financially for us. Finally, we've processed the backlog of donations that came into the church from around the world, again, to our regional offices and here at headquarters. And I love the sight of the mail that builds up and processing all of those thousands and thousands of donations. If you recall, and I'm sure there'll be more said about this in the coming week, we are approaching the anniversary of the start of the Philadelphia Church of God. And if you remember how it started, it did so with less than $100 in the bank. I almost said $100,000. That would have been generous. But no, just $100. Not too long ago. And you start to think about everything that's taking place around the world. If you keep up with our Twitter feed, you'll see activities from congregations maybe in Africa or over in Asia. Maybe there's an activity here with the Imperial Academy or something that takes place in Canada or anywhere else around the world. You think about how this work has really blossomed and expanded. And I think that's something to really be thankful for in context of a world that's worsening. It's deteriorating. It's really being destroyed by Satan, who's confined here. And so you have this contrast between the great work of God, the blessings, all of the growth, the happiness, the changed lives, and that all stands really opposite of what you see happening around us. Well, during the Feast of Tabernacles, our offices are closed for about a week and a half. In addition to that, we also process four holy day offerings. So the business offices stay very busy during this time of year. We come back from the feast And we really try to work hard to get through all of those donations. We have to bank them, of course, and then they have to be reconciled in our accounting software. And that does take just a lot of time, but we did conquer that mountain. I say we. I didn't really help that much, but the staff certainly has poured themselves into getting everything caught up. And with that, we were able to run some reports to give our pastor general an idea of how things are going. And we're very pleased to announce that nearly every category of income for 2019 has increased over 2018. Not every single one, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But Holy Day offerings are increased over last year. Last year was the most we'd ever received. First tithe donations, third tithe donations, tithe of the tithe, excess second tithe. Now, don't get me wrong. It sounds like we have a lot of tithes going on, and hopefully you understand. We do have literature that explains God's tithing laws. But what I'm getting at is we have increase everywhere. The feast that we all enjoyed was spectacular, and you're hard-pressed to find a negative comment or something that where people were held back from enjoying themselves. Nothing like that, and yet we have abundance in those that sent in extra donations to help those in need next year. It really is a great work. We have increases to the Jerusalem Fund and to our foundation as well. As I did mention, there are some decreases. Donations to the aircraft fund, to the building fund are down a little bit, and also estate income. When you put everything together, it looks like we're on track to be close to last year. We'll probably finish a little bit behind, and that's mainly due to a very large estate that we received last year that came at just a perfect time. But again, if you look at the consistent or the donations that we budget for the most, all of that presents increase. And I think that gives us indication as to the direction God intends for this work. He does need us to continue to sacrifice, to push hard. But it's a great, great situation we face now with all of these opportunities and all of the sacrifice that you're making to help fund those projects. Surely God is thankful for your attitude, and he continues to bless this work. And so as we start to wrap up this work, hopefully I'll have a chance to come back before you one more time or twice before the year ends or shortly thereafter to report on the complete year. We do really need your prayers for December. It is always our biggest month of donation if you subtract out Holy Day offerings. But if you just look at the donations we receive in December, primarily from coworkers and donors that contribute maybe less frequently, this is the big month where they are especially generous. And so I think if we can really be praying for a nice increase there, we might actually finish this year ahead of last year. And God uses all of those donations to give back to this world. This is a nonprofit organization. The staff receives a fair wage for the work that they do. But really, the thrust of the spend of this work is to give back to those that are listening, those that are called to hear this truth. This last year, as you know, we've had a larger push with the public appearance campaigns. And again, more will be reported in future Trumpet Daily Radio programs. But we're already busy scheduling and preparing for the next round of those campaigns by both Mr. Gerald Fleury and Mr. Stephen Fleury. I don't want to steal his thunder, and I won't, but he's already booking halls in the UK, which, again, I think he'll be excited to tell you about. It's fantastic that we're diving right back in to those campaigns in Britain and hopefully over in continental Europe and other countries around the world. We're working on site location studies for Mr. Gerald Fleury to get back out on the campaign trail. This past week, I received a call from one of our local ministers. His regional director asked him to call in to report that we just invited yet another new person. I believe it was from the Chicago campaign. But it just really drew attention to how bountiful those were for this year. We have 753 open visit requests right now, or individuals that are counseling with us with a desire to attend services or to have some questions answered. Of course, that takes time. For some, though, it happens pretty quickly. as it just did this past week. It's nice to meet people at the Feast of Tabernacles or when we're out visiting at different church areas to talk to those that God has added to the church family here recently. We had over 2,000 non-church members attend campaigns this year. And as I was looking at these stats, I couldn't help but to think about what it's like for them to come back to God's truth if they had a former affiliation with God, perhaps in the Worldwide Church of God. And also, there's so many that are new that don't have a history with God's church. And I just thought, what an exciting time for them to be called. There's so much taking place in this work. The campaigns, we had 15 to 20 in the last year, dozens of follow-up Bible studies, youth camps, the Feast of Tabernacles celebrations, as we talked about, our schools that are graduating kindergartners and high school kids, and you get into college, you see the work expanding. There's just a lot of energy associated with this work in a spiritual way. It reminds me a little bit about that Tulsa Marathon. Like-minded people outside being productive, just really a positive energy. Thankfully, we don't require a police presence, but I'm sure we do have some protection there from God. I don't want to get crazy with this analogy here, but it is just very uplifting to be part of this work, to throw your heart into it. Such a positive year. We have so many committed subscribers, donors, coworkers. Mr. John McDonald, our regional director in Canada, has a very aggressive plan that he's put forward to try to have, it looked to me like about a dozen campaigns throughout Canada. So we have the ministers that are out in the field, the office managers, the regional directors, everybody just pushing for more activity. So it's going to be a busy year. We have activities going on in Jerusalem. I'm sure, again, more will be reported on that in the coming weeks, hopefully. There has been an uptick in donations to our Jerusalem Fund, and of course, we're eager to get back into an archaeological dig if that door opens. Just so much going on. It's a momentous, momentous year, one that we'll look back on and I think kind of just shake our heads in awe. And we can only be more inspired by what lies ahead. Again, all the indications are it's going to accelerate. It's going to expand. Well, we'll take a short break now. And when we return, I want to have an extended segment on Thanksgiving. What a surprise, huh? We're going to talk about Thanksgiving, but I want to do so by focusing on the Key of David program that will air this weekend around the United States and Canada and just a few weeks later around the world. So we'll take a short break and come back to that Key of David program.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. The Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course is a distance learning program that makes the Bible clear and understandable. The Correspondence Course enables enrollees to learn what the Bible itself says about subjects that affect you and the world you live in. This fascinating Bible course highlights and proves what the Bible says about morality, war, religion, terrorism, and other current events, focusing on the root causes of this world's many problems facing man, as well as their solutions. The Bible and this course also focuses on the reason mankind was created in the first place, the way to happiness, accomplishment, and fulfillment, as well as the truth behind important doctrinal questions, such as what happens after we die, the nature of God, the resurrection, the millennium, and other critical subjects. Enroll today in the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
Well, thank you for sticking around with us. Hopefully, some of what we just talked about will give you some material for your prayer as you get into this day of Thanksgiving. You'll see by the end of the program that God really expects us to be thankful in the good times and in the bad times. It's a message that was communicated to this nation by one of our greatest presidents. But really, our Pastor General, Gerald Flory, in a program that we'll talk about, a 20-year-old program, really keyed in on more than just being thankful. He really connects the whole picture of mankind to this day. There's a lot to think about. There's a lot to be thankful for. We have the television program, The Key of David, airs on stations around the world. We recently did a little pruning. We've kind of done so throughout the year, and it's always interesting to me to see how that's inspired to happen with the campaign. Sometimes we'll go into an area perhaps a year in advance, and God will add subscribers and perhaps draw some interest to the program, to this message, and then it's followed up with the campaign. This last year, though, we let go of some of our bigger stations. Some of the stations made changes themselves. And so our overall response is not quite as high as far as number, but we're very pleased with the quantity, or the quality, excuse me, the quantity too, I guess. But it's the quality that God gives to us. I was thinking there and distracted myself by reminding us that sometimes these savings from, say, a reduction in broadcast is reinvested in campaigns, where God perhaps casts a large net and then devotes energy and resources to working with individuals. It's a fascinating work to sit back and really look at the bigger picture sometimes about what's taking place. And so the program does respond with some terrific results. And we've had some fantastic programs of late that really give meaning to what's taking place around us. This world is starved for understanding. I mean, there's plenty of knowledge, but putting the pieces together in a meaningful way, that just seems to evade mankind in general. They're just not real good at that. This program that we'll quote from heavily just does a masterful job about getting to the core of what this day really should be about. Now, we do hope to be more aggressive in the coming year by adding new over-the-air stations. As I think I mentioned in a previous program, we'll probably focus a little bit more on the smaller markets, the non-large metropolitan areas, because the message seems to resonate a little bit more directly with those that are outside of the large cities for one reason or another. I was looking at YouTube to review the program that we'll play clips from today, and I was just looking at the number of views. And a lot of our new programs are consistently receiving 30,000 views or so on average. Now, not everyone. There's some that are down around 6,000. But we have some that are as high as 1.3 million views, like the new Throne of David program. Now, that program has been heavily promoted, and that's drawn a lot of those numbers, really built up that viewership, or the number of people that have watched a portion of that program, if not the whole thing. But really, it's a staggering number. It is amazing, the reach of this message. And you can only hope that people really stop what they're doing, turn off the distractions, and focus on the education that's given there. This program that was taped 20 years ago, it's entitled Thanksgiving. We've used it three other times. This will be the fourth time the program's aired. Again, a 20-year-old program. The last time we broadcast it was in 2013. So far, I think about 10,000 to 12,000 people have requested literature from the airings of this program. About the same number of people have viewed it. It's up on our YouTube channel. There's a couple different files, and I won't get into all the reasons for that. But suffice it to say, it has resulted in quite a few views. And it's really tragic that there aren't more. And I'm praying that there will be more in this coming week that will listen to this program, that will really think about it. Because as you'll see here in just a second, it's just so relevant. Our producer, Dwight Falk, is the one that's responsible for distributing the Key of David program to all the stations around the world. And he was notified of the repeat that we'll use. And he pretty quickly, almost about 30 minutes later, ironically, because that's the length of the program, he called back and just said it's surprisingly relevant to what we're hearing and going through today. I want to play a segment here. This will be clip number two. And just to give you some context, since you won't be able to see this unless you're watching our YouTube channel, but the program was taped on site in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, right in the heart of the location where the battle was fought in Gettysburg. So here's a clip, clip number two.
And I want to talk to you about two proclamations that were made in the year 1863, both of them very closely related, and frankly, both of them revolving around God and sin. Here is what Abraham Lincoln said. We find ourselves in the peaceful possession of the fairest portion of the earth as regards fertility of soil, extent of territory, and salubrity of climate. We find ourselves a legal inheritance of these fundamental blessings. We toil not in the acquirement or the establishment of them. Well, where did we get all of these blessings in America, the wealthiest, richest nation in the world? Abraham Lincoln said, we didn't toil for that. It was given to us. And of course, we've been telling you that for years.
So that kind of sets up this program. You can picture in your mind, hopefully, Mr. Fleury strolling around the fields there in Gettysburg, and he starts to ask some of those bigger questions. Where did we get all of those blessings? It was given to us, as Abraham Lincoln pointed out. This world really needs a voice to remind them of how all of this happened, why we can enjoy a national holiday like Thanksgiving. And think about the work of God. Again, everything that we just talked about, all of those stats about the work, all of that, it's not through the efforts of individuals. It comes as a blessing from God. As I mentioned, this world really needs to hear this message, a news report that's truthful, that's educational and beneficial in so many ways. Incidentally, next week, we're going to air another repeat program entitled The Hidden Danger in Keeping Christmas. And that's yet another highly responsive program from the past, and very clearly a timely repeat program. We are the only ones, really, that are drawing attention to God's truthful perspective. And if we get into this time of year understanding God's truth, it changes everything. But I want to get back and use this Thanksgiving program today and really just focus on it as we wind down this show. So many quotes that I'll use will help make my point in this program. But I do encourage you to make time to go back and watch that program on Thanksgiving. When you watch the whole thing in context, the message is really quite profound. It's a well-produced program, as is all of our material. But there's a lot of footage in there, a lot of graphics. Again, I mentioned it was taped on location. It's really worth your time. In fact, I would say it's a need to go back and listen. And as I said earlier, what's so shocking about this program is how relevant it is for us today. With the impeachment efforts in Washington, D.C., it's highly reminiscent of what was taking place with President Clinton at the same time that we were taping this program 20 years ago. Isn't that ironic? We come into Thanksgiving, and when we were taping this program, the nation was divided then about an impeachment inquiry into a president. I'd like to play to you, or play for you another clip here from the program. This is number three.
Now, we have serious problems in our nation today. We're even discussing the possible impeachment of our president. I'd say that's a pretty difficult problem to deal with. Is it because we, too, have forgotten God? Is that the heart of the problem? Well, we need to learn from this greatest of all presidents, as far as I'm concerned, in the United States.
And so here we are. A program was taped 20 years ago. And yet, exactly addressing what we're experiencing today, the possible impeachment of our president. And as he said, that's a pretty difficult problem to deal with. It's a divisive issue. And yet, what did we talk about? What did we focus on? An inappropriate relationship, a telephone call? What is the cause of the difficulty, the division? As he said, Could it be that we too have forgotten God? Is that at the heart of the problem? There's so much we can learn from history if we step back and study history. And this program and all of the work that we do, the messages go back to history. Mankind seems to just be a creature of habit and awful at learning from historical precedent. Why not go back and study this? And why not watch a Key of David program and spend our Thanksgiving thinking not about division and phone calls and politics, hatred? Why not get to the core of the problem? Where is God in Thanksgiving? Where is God in the success of this nation? Our blessed economy, our peace and tranquility, as Abraham Lincoln pointed out, did not come as a result of men. It is a gift, a blessing from God. Now, around Thanksgiving, it's quite common for individuals, for media folks to write about or discuss what they're thankful for. That often happens around tables at Thanksgiving. As tradition, perhaps you go around and you just speak about the different things you're thankful for. Most often, if we do manage to be thankful in the first place, it's obviously far easier to be thankful for what we have when we're living in good times. That's pretty easy for humans because the empirical self is gratified. So it's easy to be thankful. But what about when we go through difficulties or problems, whether it be a personal or a national situation? That's the true test of our mettle. That's a measure of character. I want to quote to you from an article from the Washington Post. This ran last year, November 20th, 2018. And again, so the events there are from last year. But just think about what it says for 2019. The title of the article is, "We Celebrate Thanksgiving Because of This Poignant Proclamation from Abraham Lincoln." That's the title of the article. He says here, this is the author of the article, "The year that is drawing to its close has been filled with a curse of parched fields and charred skies. To these torments, which are so constantly suffered, others have been added: hurricanes, harassment, gun violence. In 2018, misfortune can't help but to harden the hearts of even the most steadfast believers." Now, as you'll see here in a moment, I'm going to read to you President Lincoln's proclamation. The author of this article from the Washington Post was taking his words but substituting in the reality of what we faced in 2018 and, might I add, 2019. And his assessment, his conclusion was quite different than President Lincoln. And we'll see actually that what Lincoln was suffering through and what the nation was going through at the time was, I think, even worse than what we saw in 2018 and what we see this year. Worse in a different sense, I guess you could say. His conclusion was, though, that even religious people are getting overwhelmed. From this world's perspective, what is there to be thankful for? Here's what President Lincoln said in his Thanksgiving proclamation, October 3rd, 1863. "The year that is drawing toward its close has been filled with blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added, which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensitive to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God." What a different perspective. Those are words from a president, not a preacher, not a prophet. And what makes that statement so remarkable, that proclamation, is that it was made at a time of horrible difficulty in history. The author of the article points out the difference in leadership from Abraham Lincoln's time, fast forwarding to our present day. Think about the example of presidents. Think about their public statements. Mr. Fleury got to the core of the problem in his program. I'd like to go to clip number 5, please.
After that day of prayer, which was really for the crisis at hand, that was in April 1863, President Lincoln, I think, wanted a day where they could think and thank God and focus on God for all time. So he had another proclamation, and I think it really flowed from this first one on prayer and fasting, so that we could have a national holiday. And I want to read you a quote from this proclamation about Thanksgiving. Now, this happened a week and a half after the battle here at Gettysburg. Here is the proclamation he made. Proclamation of Thanksgiving. He said, "It has pleased Almighty God to hearken to the supplications and prayers of an afflicted people and to vouchsafe to the Army and the Navy of the United States victories on land and on the sea so signal and so effective, and to furnish reasonable grounds for augmented confidence that the union of these states will be maintained, their constitution preserved, and their peace and prosperity permanently restored." Peace and prosperity restored. "It is meet and right to recognize and confess the presence of the Almighty Father and the power of His hand equally in these triumphs and in these sorrows. Now, therefore, be it known that I do set apart Thursday the 6th to be observed as a day for national thanksgiving, praise and prayer, praise and prayer. And I invite the people of the United States to assemble on that occasion in their customary places of worship, and in the forms approved by their own consciences, render the homage to the divine majesty for the wonderful things He has done in the nation's behalf. Appealing to the people on the day of Thanksgiving to praise God and pray to God and assemble and worship God on that day and thank God, as he said, for all the wonderful things He has done in the nation's behalf." Now, how well do we follow that instruction today on our day of Thanksgiving? What do we do on the day of Thanksgiving? Do we worship God, pray to God, praise God? Or do we get into sports and drunkenness and all other kinds of evil? Do we really think about God on that day? Do we really set it aside as worship for God? I think anybody in the audience knows that's not true. We don't do that. We don't do that, and we have serious problems today. And there is a connection. There is a connection. God says so.
Now, that's a longer clip there. And again, I think you get the sense of the impact this program should have on us. What powerful instruction. Our nation is so far removed from history. Remember that Lincoln made this proclamation and the call for a day of prayer and fasting in the midst of a vicious civil war. It's hard to reconcile what he said with what was taking place around him, but it reflects the attitude that we need to have. It's easy to be thankful when times are good. But do we look to God? Do we thank God when times aren't so good? This morning, I just looked up a few details about the battle at Gettysburg. It was fought from July 1st through July 3rd, 3 days of fighting, 1863. This is a quote from HistoryNet.com. It says, "Casualties at Gettysburg totaled 23,049 for the Union. That included 3,155 dead, 14,529 wounded, 5,365 missing. Missing. All of those wounded, you've seen pictures of the gruesome conditions, the unsanitary conditions that existed back then. Those wounds maybe could have been a minor, but could have also been the loss of a limb, an eye. A horrible day. 3 days. That's just the side of the Union. Confederate casualties were 28,063. 3,903 dead. 18,735 injured. 5,425 missing. More than 51,000 casualties combined. You have 7,000 people dead in a three-day period. 33,000 wounded. Listen to this stat. This is from battlefields.org. It says roughly 1,264,000 American soldiers have died in the nation's wars. 620,000 in the Civil War and 644,000 in all other conflicts. That gives you a little context to the brutality of the Civil War. I know many of you are well aware of the impact it had on our nation, on families, on individuals. And yet it was in the midst of all of that warfare and fighting that President Lincoln made these proclamations. It was April in 1863 that he made the proclamation for prayer and fasting. July, Gettysburg was fought. October, he asks for the nation to get together to thank God, to worship God on a day of Thanksgiving. What perspective? That Washington Post article reads, But the reason the tables are set around the country on Thanksgiving today is not because of the pilgrims or their exploits. Whether they had turkey in the 17th century bounty is of little significance. It's because Lincoln, more than two centuries after the settlers arrived in colonial America, saw reason for thanks in the midst of trying times, events that put present strife into perspective. It would be a day for thanksgiving and praise, he ordered. The country was at war over slavery, but still Lincoln saw reason for hope, and his words still hold the power to nourish a divided society today. Americans were waging war against each other, he observed, but, quote, peace has been preserved with all nations, order has been maintained, the laws have been respected and obeyed, and harmony has prevailed everywhere except in the theater of military conflict. Now, that was in Lincoln's day. Could you make the same statement today? Well, of course not. We don't have peace preserved with nations. There is a disorderliness to geopolitics. And laws have not been respected or obeyed. Harmony does not prevail. You can go to thetrumpet.com, and today's lead article written by Andrew Miller is entitled, How Close is the United States to Civil War? How close? It's really tragic that there are those that so casually point to the fact that we're going toward civil war. I'm not referring to Andrew Miller. I'm referring to the media. It's as though there's a total absence of understanding how brutal that time was. Having a thankful attitude in times of adversity is the result of a contrite, repentant heart. See, let's get back to the cause. How can we be thankful in difficult times? Well, if we're humble before God, if we're repentant, it creates a sense of thankfulness, an attitude and approach of thankfulness. I want to play to you yet another soundbite. This is number one from that Key of David program.
Abraham Lincoln became very discouraged at one time in the war because there was so much evil going on. People were lying and they were doing all kinds of terrible things, and he couldn't understand that. He was a very righteous man. And he said, here we are on the brink of destruction, and yet we have people going around and telling lies that you couldn't even impose upon a child ordinarily. Why is that? He saw great evil in the land, and that offended his righteousness.
So here you have a president discouraged. I was just thinking as we were playing that clip that Mr. Fleury couldn't have written a more appropriate script for today. People were lying. They were doing all kinds of terrible things, and they couldn't understand that. And it was offensive to righteousness. Now, we see all kinds of evil in the land today, not just with impeachment issues, but other social breakdowns. It's heartbreaking. It offends righteousness. And really, that should drive us back to God personally and nationally. Abraham Lincoln didn't just tell the nation to endure hardness. He brought attention back to the reason behind these trials. He actually proclaimed that day of prayer and fasting before the day of Thanksgiving so that the nation would first humble themselves before God. That's the required state of mind. That's how we should come into Thanksgiving ourselves. Humble, contrite, repentant, giving thanks. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." This is what God wants out of us. In all things, give thanks. That's what God expects out of our listeners today, our subscribers and coworkers and donors, our children. This isn't just a day about eating or sports or anything else like that. It's a day to give God thanks. Last Sabbath, one of our local ministers here, Daryl Hope, made the following statement in his message. He said, "Generally, thanking and praising God has a transformative effect on us." Thanking and praising God transforms us. He said, "Being grateful requires humility. It requires a recognition of what has been given to us by God and what we could never do for ourselves. It puts us in a humble and contrite mindset. It moves us in the direction of repentance." Being thankful and praising God, it works the reverse toward us too. It helps us draw even closer to Him in the right attitude. I'd like to play another clip from that Key of David program. This is clip number 6.
Notice Deuteronomy 8, verses 11 through 14. Here's what God says: "Beware that you forget not the Eternal your God in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes, which I command you this day, lest when you have eaten and are full," like we are, you see, at Thanksgiving time, "and have built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord God which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." You forget. But he says in verses 1 and 2, we ought to remember and humble ourselves. Remember and humble ourselves. And we ought to remember. We ought to remember today about Gettysburg and losing 48,000 men in 3 days. We ought to remember that and all the bitterness and all the hatred that was going on in this land, and it's building again today in a lot of ways. We have many problems. How are we going to solve them? Abraham Lincoln thought there was only one way to solve them, and he knew he could not. And he said so. And he said, only God can solve our problems. They're too big for men. Men can't solve these problems. How can men solve problems like a nation falling apart and being disunited? And now we have so many blessings today as a result of what God did through Abraham Lincoln and people at that time. Look at the peace and look at the prosperity and look at the happiness we have had being a united state rather than a disunited group of states where we wouldn't have near the prosperity and wouldn't have near the abundance. What a difference it makes if we thank God and praise God.
What a difference it makes. You see, only God can solve our national problems. They're too big for mankind. And you can boil that down to an individual's life. Only God can really solve problems in our lives. They're just simply too big for us. We don't know how to do it. And so if we move away from God individually or collectively as a nation, the problems will worsen. Division sets in. And look at where we are today. Think about the 1.2 million lives that were sacrificed over the past several hundred years just in this country alone so that we can enjoy the abundance, the freedoms and protections that we do. You can understand why God inspired this program to be played today and throughout this weekend. Hopefully, people will stop and listen. There is so much importance in being thankful. It changes our mindset. It transforms us, as I just read, to be thankful for this great work, to be thankful to give this truth to the world without any cost to them, to make it available everywhere. Sacrifices that are made by those that support this work to give hope. It's a message that offers solutions. Excuse me. It's a message of prophecy to give context to the troubles that this world is suffering through. It shows us where everything is leading. Another article I read, and I didn't write down the source here, I'm sorry, but it said, thankfulness can lead to an entire reorientation of our lives, particularly when we learn to give thanks for hard times. It's a secular source. It's not our material, but it's a great point. Thankfulness can lead to an entire reorientation of our lives. Now, that's not natural. In fact, most humans are innately selfish. And when things aren't going our way, when we suffer through trials and difficulties, that is the time that is most difficult for us to be thankful. But consider this counsel from God, as recorded in your Bible. James chapter 1, verse 12 reads, "Blessed is the man who endures trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him." God calls out blessings if we listen to him. God calls on us to build patience. That leads to character. Both of those qualities would do this nation, would do individuals a great service to be more patient, to be more faithful. There is long-term benefit in this, of course. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 read, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer various trials, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ." Right? We have difficulties and tests and trials to shape us, to help us learn to be thankful, to recognize what God does for us. Our nation needs to conquer division, but it's only prophesied to get worse. This article or this quote that I'm about to read to you was just appeared in the Boston Globe 3 days ago. It says, "Impeachment continues in Washington. The national press is fixated on impeachment. Democrats, too, are fixated on it. Republicans and independent voters have no interest in it or appetite for it. Much of the nation seems in need of a distraction. We will have some distraction with Thanksgiving." Recent polling from Georgetown University shows that the average American thinks we are past the halfway point to a second civil war. Our nation is exceptionally divided. Our communities are breaking down. No one seems willing to live and let live. Both sides scream about who started it. Are we, are you still thankful? Good questions. The proper assessment, this nation is divided, it's filled with hate, and most people recognize that we're more than halfway towards civil war. This media, mankind in general, has a very pessimistic perspective. No call for repentance or humility on this Thanksgiving. No, you don't see that anywhere except for God's true church. I think I understand exactly why God selected this Key of David program to air this weekend, why he inspired it to be recorded 20 years ago, and how much more appropriate it is to today. We're now more than 150 years past that overwhelming national tragedy of the Civil War. Spend a little time thinking about the lives lost, the families destroyed, the lasting consequences of those battles. The human toll is staggering. One final clip here. This is clip number 7 from that Key of David program.
2 Timothy 3, verses 1 and 2. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy." Unthankful? It's a prophecy for the last days. Unthankful. We're living in the last days. Are we thankful? God says we're not. and were unholy. We need a day of thanksgiving for the kept for the right purposes, and with the purpose in mind that Abraham Lincoln had when he established it as a national holiday in 1863 during the Civil War. During the Civil War, and just shortly after this terrible battle right here, just a few days later. But do we remember what happened? Do we remember all of those many men who died that we may live and that we may have one nation under God? They died so we could have all of those freedoms and joys.
What a powerful conclusion to that program. Sacrifice for unity and peace. It was in the climate of war and hatred that Abraham Lincoln turned the nation's attention to humility, to prayer and fasting, to God. He called upon us to share a national day of thanksgiving, a day that's so desperately needed, but so very unlikely to happen today. Thanksgiving should not be just a distraction, as the Boston Globe called it. That's the problem. It's not a distraction. It's the solution. It's the solution that this world just can't put their fingers on. Each of us can learn from history. We can study those proclamations from President Lincoln. We could draw close to our God in thanks, both in good times and in bad. That, after all, is the response that God is looking for. So enjoy your family time on this national holiday. Be balanced in your eating, and come back tomorrow for yet another live Trumpet Daily Radio program. Thanks for listening today.